Today is Reformation Sunday. Our readings from the Word of God from Romans chapter 3, verses 19 through 28, Psalm 46, and the Gospel according to John chapter 8, verses 31 through 36. The message is titled, The Power of the Word. Romans chapter 3, beginning at verse 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law. So that every mouth may be silenced and the whole world held accountable to God. Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in his sight by observing the law. Rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin. But now, a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. He did this to demonstrate His justice, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His justice at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Where then is boasting? It is excluded. On what principle? On that of observing the law? No, but on that of faith. For we maintain that a man is justified by faith apart from observing the law. Here ends a reading from Romans chapter 3, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth may give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her. She will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts His voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see what the Lord has done, the desolations He has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shield with fire. He says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Here ends Psalm 46, the Holy Gospel according to St. John chapter 8, beginning at verse 31. To the Jews who had believed in Him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciple. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered Him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So, If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Here ends our read from John chapter 8. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. O God of unchangeable power and eternal light, look favorably on your whole church, which is a wonderful and sacred mystery. In your eternal foreknowledge, you peacefully do your saving work for humanity. Let the whole world know the things that were cast down are being raised up. And the things that had grown old are being made new. And all things are being restored by Him in whom they have their beginning, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Iglesiam Sacramentary, a prayer found in that, though, one of the earliest liturgical books known for the early church. Wyatt Dietrich. You've heard his name, oftentimes seen it in the bulletin for prayer, written by Wyatt Dietrich. He was born in Nuremberg, December 8, 1506. Recognized very young as very talented, a wealthy benefactor supported his education. While attending the University of Wittenberg, Philip Melanchthon recognized Dietrich's abilities. Soon Luther was also aware of the abilities of Dietrich. Luther took Dietrich under his wings as a protege, becoming a close confidant and accompanying Luther on his different trips, especially to the Marburg Colloquy and the Diet of Augsburg. The Marburg Colloquy, 1529, is a formal meeting of Luther with Zwingli over the real presence in the Eucharist, among other things, too. Luther maintained the real presence, for Christ said, "This is my body." Christ said, "This is my blood." Zwingli held that the bread and wine were symbols done in remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Luther and Zwingli parted ways. The Diet of Augsburg, 1530. It's when the Augsburg Confession was presented to the emperor. The Augsburg Confession was prepared by Philip Melanchthon along with Johannes Brentz. Melanchthon took the lead in preparing the document, showing that Lutherans continued to teach what the church has always taught in clear and gentle language, supported and backed by Scripture. Luther was not there at Augsburg. Luther was not there. He was still banned. Luther, along with Dietrich, were 150 miles away in Coburg Castle. And the correspondence went back and forth from Augsburg to Coburg Castle. There's little collections of sermons delivered by Luther in his home. They're known as Luther's Hospital. Hospitale. I don't know if I pronounced that right or not. But just see yourself late in the day and you gather with those that are staying in Luther's home. There's Luther's beloved Katie, their six children, along with the others staying in the home. And you hear a sermon, an exposit of the Scriptures. Haus Postils. Postils is from the Latin post illa verbis textus, meaning after these words of the text. So Luther would read the text and then give a sermon in the home. Dietrich, along with George Rohrer, were there ready with pen in hand to record the words spoken by Luther. What this means is that Wyatt Dietrich was infused with the teachings and home life of Luther too, and filled with the fervor of the Reformation. In Dr. Martin Luther's House Postals, in the section titled Form of the Congregational Prayer Before and After the Sermon, Wyatt Dietrich has put at the beginning and end of the book how one can exhort the people to prayer. And the preacher can follow that same form. It then goes on to give an example of how this ceremony should be used for the further instruction of those who need a primer. So quoting, The congregational prayer before the sermon. Dear Christians, we are gathered here in the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ, to hear the holy divine word as we have God's command that we should pray to the Holy Ghost. Therefore, pray from the heart to God, the Heavenly Father, that He, through Christ our Savior, would give the Holy Ghost to make God's word powerful in our hearts, to lead us into all truth, and that the Holy Ghost would teach, enlighten, govern, comfort, and sanctify us to eternal life. And I bring you back to those words from this morning's prayer of the day, which we prayed just a few moments ago to the Lord God, our Heavenly Father. We most heartily thank you that by your word, you have brought us out of the darkness of error into the light of your grace. Mercifully help us to walk in that light. Guard us from all error and false doctrine. A prayer written by Viet Dietrich. Hearing again those words, I ask you a question. What was the catalyst for the Reformation? What set the Reformation in motion? Here's the historical context. Building of St. Peter's Basilica, along with Albrecht of Mainz, seeking a second bishopric through a huge loan from the Fugger bankers. That huge loan from the Fugger bankers would be repaid through the selling of indulgences. Johann Tetzel was commissioned to sell those indulgences, but the commission prohibited him from preaching indulgences in Saxony. Saxony, the area of Luther's benefactor, Frederick the Wise. Turns out Frederick the Wise and Albrecht of Mainz were rivals. So Frederick the Wise said, not in Saxony. Jüterbug was the closest Tetzel could preach, and many from Wittenberg traveled to Jüterbug to buy indulgences. For when the coin in the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs. That is the general picture of the historical context. Still, I ask, what set in motion the Reformation? What really was the catalyst? The answer, the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God. It was the power of the Word of God. Or succinctly said from the Reformation formula, sola scriptura. Sola scriptura. Sola scriptura means that the writings of God, the sacred scripture alone, is authoritative for the faith and practice of the church. The word of God for the faith and practice of the church. And the church meaning the body of Christ, which is you and me and the people of the faith. All we say, all we do concerning the faith must be supported from the scriptures. Where in the scriptures is the selling of indulgences for the remission and absolution of sins? Where is it written of? Where is it supported and encouraged to do? It's not there. Tetzel contended the papacy in and of itself had the authority to issue indulgences. It was the tradition of the papacy. Luther focused on the theology behind the indulgences. For Luther, the theology is, what does the Word of God say concerning indulgences? That must be answered. What does the Word of God say? Can you reason plainly from the Scripture why you do what you do? Can you reason from the Scripture why you do what you do with indulgences? At the Diet of Worms, 1521, when Luther's life hung in the balance before the emperor, Luther would not recant. Concluding, Luther said, unless I am convinced by the testimony of the Scriptures and by clear reason, For I do not trust in the Pope or councils alone, since it's well known they have often erred and contradicted themselves. I am bound by the Scriptures I have quoted. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. I cannot and I will not retract anything, since it is neither safe nor right to go against conscience. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God, help me. Amen. The testimony of the Scripture. By the testimony of the Scriptures and clear reason. That is from the plain reading of the Scripture. Read the words. What do they say? The plain reading of the Scriptures explain the support for what you do and why you do it. Explain from the Scriptures for the position you hold concerning the faith. Seeking truth, seeking clarity, seeking understanding from the words of the Scripture. Truth. Truth sets free. John chapter 8, verse 31, beginning. To the Jews who believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. The teachings, meaning the fullness of the written word of God. And the written word of God points to Jesus as the Christ. And the work he will do on the cross, which sets free. There's an interesting moment recorded in the Word of God in Acts chapter 17. The Apostle Paul is preaching in Berea. Remember, he just got kicked out of Thessalonica, escaped Thessalonica. He's preaching in Berea in the synagogues, in the Jewish synagogues. This is what happened in Berea. Acts chapter 17, beginning of verse 11. Now the Bereans were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, for they received the message with great eagerness and examined the Scriptures every day to see if what Paul said was true. Many of the Jews believed, as did also a number of prominent Greek women and many Greek men. The ESV translation is closer to the Greek. Now these Jews are more noble than those in Thessalonica. They received the word with all eagerness, examining the Scriptures daily to see if these things were so. Many of them therefore believed, with not a few Greek women of high standing as well as men. Paul preached the word in the Jewish synagogues. The Bereans listened and received the word. They took it to heart. And they also went to the Scriptures. They examined the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was actually there in the Scriptures, was true. The Greek word translated is anakreno. Anakreno. It's a compound word of ana and kreno. Ana means completing a process. Ana, completing a process. Adding ana to kreno, it intensifies the kreno. It makes the kreno stronger and more vibrant, intensifies it. Kreno means to select by separating and judging. So it means closely examining by investigation to reach a needed conclusion. The Bereans examined intensely the Scriptures to reach the conclusion. And therefore they believed what Paul was saying. They believed Jesus is the Christ. They came to the faith. The Bereans believed, and showing that what Paul was teaching about Jesus was indeed found in the Scriptures, the written word of God. Remember, at that time, the Scriptures were the Hebrew Bible, what we know as the Old Testament. In short, what Paul says about Jesus and salvation, the Scriptures have spoken the same thing. In the letter of Paul, we find this also, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Now, brothers, I've applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. Do not go what is Gegraptai. Gegraptai. Gegraptai comes from grypho. Grypho means it is written, it stands written. So it's written in the scriptures. Don't go beyond what is written in the scriptures. Mark chapter 7. Jesus says this. It's a warning. Mark 7 verse 8 to the Pharisees. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. In other words, the Pharisees have gone beyond the written word of God and set their own traditions up. And their own traditions are actually against the word of God. You've gone beyond. You've let go of the commands, the word of God, for your traditions. That was Jesus speaking to the Pharisees. Traditions built upon traditions, bolstered by traditions, guarded by tradition, encouraged by tradition, by tradition, by tradition. Have you ever removed layers of paint? I mean, layer of paint, layer of paint, layer of paint, layer of paint, on top of layer of paint, on top of layer. I mean, built so thick up on a piece of wood. You remove those layers of paint from the woodwork, and behold, see all the detail that was lost in all that thickness of paint built up over the years. Tradition upon tradition upon tradition, losing what the written word of God actually says. What was lost in the layers of tradition, which brought about the selling of indulgences, was recovered by Luther. The believer is justified freely by grace. His grace, the living God's grace, to be received by faith. Justified by grace, received by faith. How did Luther recover what was lost? Turning to the written word of God. The scriptures, the word of God. Martin Luther's 95 theses begin with this introductory paragraph. Out of love for the truth and from desire to elucidate it, the Reverend Father Martin Luther, Master of Arts in Sacred Theology, an ordinary lecturer there in Wittenberg, intends to defend the following statements and to dispute on them in that place. Therefore, he asks that those who cannot be present and dispute with him orally shall do so in their absence by letter. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As you read through those 95 theses, you'll find verse citations for supporting the thesis Luther is putting in place. You read through the Augsburg Confession, you will find verse citations. That means what we confess, what we teach, what we put forth as the faith comes from the written word of God, the scriptures. We say this is the faith, and right there is the word of God citation. Go to it and see for yourself. This means we confess, we teach, we put forth the faith as from the word of God. Do we ignore tradition? No, we don't ignore tradition. We do hold on to traditions. However, we do not let a tradition stand or any new concept that contradicts the message of salvation in Jesus Christ found through the entire word of the scriptures, the word of God. Grace received by faith. This illustrates what is happening concerning the word of God these days. This is from a CBS News interview of a Hope Lutheran Church transgender pastor, of being more inclusive about LGBTQ+, for context, the person born female, has a spouse, a woman, who is also a Lutheran pastor, ELCA, and they have three children, also have three children. And the context, hear what Stever, if I don't know if I pronounced the last name right, but it's S-T-E-V-E-R, Stever or Stever. And this is said in regarding Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So Stever said this, Genesis 1, 27. So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female. He created them. In response, Devers said, It's hard to relate this verse to modern times because it wasn't written for 2024. Yes, that person said that. It wasn't written for 2024. It was written for then. When we read the scriptures that God created a man and woman, yes, and God created everyone else as well. It's not written for 2024. What about when Jesus and Mark said, haven't you heard in the beginning God created a male and female, and the two shall become one? From the Gospel of Mark. As soon as one says the scripture was not written for 2024, was it written for 2024? Not written. How about not written for 1517? Or how about not written for 325 AD when the Council of Nicaea met to speak clearly about the nature of Christ? Was the Son created as Arianism states, or is Jesus the Christ, eternal, uncreated Son of God and one with the Father? Council of Nicaea delivered the confession of faith known as the Nicene Creed, which we will use later today in today's worship celebration. So not written for 2024? Well, not written for 1517. Not written for three. Where does it stop? As soon as one says the scriptures were not written for 2024 or any other time, the slippery slope of relativism takes over and all things are questionable. All things become questionable. A question actually that goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. When the evil one, as the slithery serpent spoke, Genesis 3 verse 1. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say, you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Did God really say, once you enter that territory, did God really say, all things are questioned? Did God really say this? John chapter 14 verse 6. Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Would you say these words of Scripture are actually written for 2024? 2 Timothy chapter 4, beginning at verse 2. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. Luther, under immense pressure, the weight of the papacy, the weight of the emperor, and he held fast. Luther held fast for the word of God. Since Luther stood firm in that moment, Western civilization came to be. Yes, the 95 Theses is the pivot point of history that brought about Western civilization through the Christian faith. Living out that faith with William Wilberforce's determination, leading Western civilization to end the slave trade. This Judeo-Christian worldview would lead to freedom unheard of before in human history. For it's written in John, if Christ sets you free, you will be free indeed. And that message carried by the Judeo-Christian worldview has brought freedom through Western civilization to the whole world that was unheard of before. Listen to these timeless words of Scripture in Mark chapter 10, beginning at verse 33. We are going up to Jerusalem, Jesus said. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him, and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. Written in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, there is no one righteous, not even one. Verse 18, there is no fear of God before their eyes. Let the power of the Word of God resonate and reverberate in your soul. And these words from Scripture when Paul begins at verse 21. But now, the Greek is nouni. Nouni is the Greek word. And that Greek word means now. Now. It is an emphatic now. Verse 21 begins with an emphatic now. Not one righteous, no fear of God. That was before. Emphatically now. Precisely now leaves what was before behind. For the now is not like what it was before. So that no one righteous, no one fear of God, but now, now, emphatically now, the written word of God testifies and confirms this to be true. Romans 3:21. Now a righteousness from God, apart from the law, has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. Now a righteousness from God has been made known. From verse 22, this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Verse 24, all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Verse 25, God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of blood to be received by faith. Jesus is the crucified and risen Son of God. Through the finished work of the cross, the redeeming price has been paid in full. The wrath of God fully satisfied, bringing in totality the forgiveness of sins. You are justified for Christ's sake. The power of this word has demonstrably changed the course of human history. The power of this word can save you, rescue you from being dead in sin to alive in Christ, from no one is righteous to being declared righteous by God. Romans chapter 1, beginning at verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. First for the Jew, then for the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith from first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. The power of the word. The righteous will live by faith. Amen. And amen.